Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Why does the LDS Church send out missionaries? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are going through an article that is found on the LDS Newsroom website, an article titled Mormonism 101, FAQ, or Frequently Asked Questions, where the LDS Church on this official site is responding to various questions that they have been asked. This question seems a little bit odd. Even though this paper is really meant more for journalists, to guide journalists in correctly analyzing and explaining what the Mormon Church actually teaches and what Mormons are supposed to believe, this question seems a little bit odd because, well, why does the church send out missionaries? Well,
to convert people.
Yeah, obviously. It seems that's a no-brainer. Of course, if the Mormon people feel that what they have is true and they feel it's important that people know what they believe to be true, then it makes sense that they would want to have some kind of a missionary effort. This is not unusual. In fact, they point to the New Testament pattern of missionaries serving in pairs, teaching the gospel and baptizing believers in the name of Jesus Christ. And they talk about how they have over 52,000 missionaries, most of whom are under the age of 25. Now, that's the thing. Who are these missionaries that are coming to our door? Because I've talked to many Bible-believing Christians who have told me they feel intimidated when they see two guys standing at their door with a badge that says elder. Mm-hmm. Now, why would that be intimidating to the average Christian? Well, because usually an elder in Christian circles is someone who is supposed to, if they're an elder in the biblical sense of the word, supposed to have some knowledge of the Christian faith and are willing to defend the Christian faith. And so they see this badge on these young men that are at the door and they assume that, well, these must be, you know, 19-year-old scholars? I don't know.
Well, I always like to, when people have told me, should we be concerned when the Mormon missionaries come to our door? Well, if you know your Christian faith, have a conversation with them. How many 19-year-olds from your church would you be fearful of being able to not answer their questions? I mean, I think we're going to have to understand these are kids just out of high school probably in the last year or two, and they're very faithful in serving 2 years, dedicating themselves to doing this. But I think we just need to be kind and compassionate when they come to our door. If you don't want to talk to them, be very generous about that and say, thank you guys for coming. We sure appreciate it, but we're not interested. Or have a conversation where you have some questions to ask them.
Oh, yeah. And I think they would be more than willing to try and answer the questions. Now, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to answer the question or even answer it well. But I think it goes by who we're asking the question of. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should not expect these guys to be, you know, scholars, and they're not. And I don't want to take away from their zeal and their devotion to their church. I commend them that they are willing to spend 2 years of their life, if they're guys, or year and a half, if they're girls. But at the same time, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of information from these young people. That's been my experience. When I ask them questions, usually they don't know. And sadly, some of them kind of shoot from the hip. How did Stephen Robinson, a BYU professor, describe the young missionaries that come to our door?
Well, he said in How Wide the Divide, page 15, he says, on the other hand, those Mormons who most frequently talk to evangelicals, the LDS missionaries, receive very little formal training before going out to proselytize. They are almost literally babes in the woods, and quite often, particularly where the Mormon church is strong, the LDS missionaries might be among the least knowledgeable members of the congregation. I think that's an important point there, that they are sending them out. And actually, I think that's a smart move on their part, because so many of these men, young men who go out, may not have quite solidified their faith. You go out for 2 years, especially in a foreign land where you're having to learn another language in addition to being able to understand your theology. And here, Stephen Robinson says, they're the least knowledgeable, but they're going to learn a lot in those 2 years. So when they come back, they will become really faithful members. And generally, that's true.
Well, sometimes it is true, but don't you think they also run the risk of really getting hammered hard from, let's say they're sent down into the Bible Belt. Well, or as we know, when we lived in El Cajon, the missionaries weren't even allowed to come on our street. And we heard that from a returned missionary who we met in Manti, who told us that. He said, we were not allowed to go on your street. And why? Because I had somehow protected, or you had protected everybody on our block? No, we didn't.
Yeah. No, but they definitely were not allowed. We knew that because they had former missionaries who served in our area told us that. Yeah. But continuing that quote to finish that off, Stephen Robinson says, yet when evangelicals talk to LDS missionaries, they often assume on the basis of a pattern that holds true for Protestants that they are talking to trained professionals or at least to competent theological authorities. And he says, no, you're not. You're talking to some babes in the woods. Yeah. And so I think the Christian needs to understand that they have an opportunity. They didn't have to go out to get this witnessing encounter. If you have a few questions to ask them, to give them something to think about. Michael Wilder, a friend of ours who's with Adams Road, who introduces our program every time, became a Christian because they sat down
with the music.
With the music, yes. He introduces it with the music as a part of the band that they have. But he went to try to convert a pastor, and the pastor was very nice to him and just told him to read his Bible in a nice way. And so that's what Micah did. He went back to read his Bible, and long story short, he ends up coming out of the church because he realized that that is not a true religion, that did not follow the Bible. He ends up getting sent home a week early before his mission was over.
Yeah, I don't think it's that a Christian should feel intimidated when the Mormon missionary comes to their door. However, if you do feel intimidated, I would encourage you to do something about that. Either study up on what the people around you believe, especially if you live here in Utah. I often have missionaries ask me, well, what are you doing in Utah? You know, do you know anything about the LDS Church? My answer is, well, it would be irresponsible for me as a Christian to live in Utah and not know something about the belief system of the people that live around me. And if you're a Christian who's been here in Utah for any amount of time and you still don't know a whole lot about the Mormon Church, I would strongly admonish you, you need to do something about that. I don't think that's being a responsible believer myself. There's another statement that I think we need to address. Dallin Oaks, who's a Mormon apostle right now, he gave a speech called Apostasy and Restoration, and you can find this in the May 1995 edition of the Ensign magazine, and this quote is found on page 84. He said, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has many beliefs in common with other Christian churches, but we have differences, and those differences explain why we send missionaries to other Christians."
All right.
Do you catch what he's saying there?
Yeah.
I mean,
if they're Christian and they're going to send them to other Christians, why are they sending them to other Christians if they're already Christian?
If I believe you're a Christian, you don't need to be converted. If I think you're a Christian, you don't need to be converted, because if you were a Christian, you are forgiven. Things are taken care of in your life. But in Mormonism, they don't look at it that way, because in Mormonism, they obviously feel that their claim to Christianity is much more exclusive than your claim to Christianity. They can use the phrase, well, you're a traditional Christian, although now I hear even the Mormons are using that phrase.
Sure they are.
It's becoming more and more confusing.
Right.
But they will allow you to use that title, but see, that's a title that I think needs to be protected. It's a title that needs to be defended. But for Dallin Oaks to say that we send our missionaries to other professing Christians, I think is very telling. And I really wish a lot of these Christians who see that there's nothing all that significant in differences between us and the LDS Church would stop and consider that. They think you are a part of the great apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no escaping that. Their scripture says so. Their leaders have said so. So when you join hands with a member of the LDS Church in any type of religious fellowship, keep in mind that the Mormon that you're joining hands in fellowship with, if he is believing what the church actually teaches, he thinks you are part of the apostasy. I have difficulty joining in religious fellowship with anyone who thinks that of me. And I won't join in religious fellowship with anyone who thinks that of me. But he's making it very clear that there is a difference between us. Now, when we look at some of the statements that have been made by LDS leaders of the past, we see this really come to the top. One of them, let me start off with Brigham Young. Journal of Discourses, Volume 10, page 230. Should you ask why we differ from other Christians, as they are called, it is simply because they are not Christians, as the New Testament defines Christianity. Hey, fellow believer, that's what the LDS church leaders have said. You are not a true Christian in the New Testament definition of the word. That according to Brigham Young. And we find this pattern throughout the history of the LDS church. Remember, B.H. Roberts, who was a Mormon 70, said that if there was not a complete apostasy of the Christian religion, there would basically be no reason for the Mormon church to exist. It is them against us in their eyes. They see us as really outsiders. We are taking the title of Christian, and they'll allow us that because they want that from us. They'll allow us that, but officially, in their doctrines and the way it's been taught by their leaders, they do not look at your claim to be being a Christian on the same level as their claim to Christianity. In fact, if you were to ask them, okay, if you think I'm a Christian, if I was to die right now, would I end up going where you hope to go? A Mormon could not really say yes to that. He could not really say yes to that. There are other statements from Mormon leaders that deal with that. Do you have one in mind, Eric? You want me to pull one up from Bruce McConkie?
Well,
we've only got a minute.
Charles Didier said in the Message of the Restoration in the Ensign magazine, November 2003, page 73, he said missionary work is also the responsibility of every member to sound the warning voice to their neighbors in mildness and in meekness. Why? So that others may receive the saving ordinances in the Church of Jesus Christ by inviting them to come unto Christ. And so I think a lot of Mormons will shuffle the responsibility of mission work off to the missionaries. And
oh, yeah.
And here he's saying that every Mormon is supposed to be a missionary, not just the 52,000 plus who are out there.
Let me close with this quote from Bruce McConkie. Modern Christians, as part of their various creeds and doctrines, have inherited many myths, legends, and traditions from their ancestors, all of which views they falsely assume are part of true religion. Indeed, it would be difficult to assemble a greater number of myths into one philosophical system than are now found in the philosophies of modern Christendom. That's what a Mormon leader thinks of you, the Bible-believing Christian.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.